There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
If you've got a serious Netflix habit, that music will need no introduction. It is the favourite television show of our next guest, who is in to discuss content, not necessarily just Stranger Things, but content in general. Discop, which is a trade show for buyers and sellers of TV, is taking place at the moment. One of the key topics is bound to be the growing appetite for international television content. We're joined in the studio now by the founder and the MD of MENA.TV Content Hub to tell us how much the world really wants of what we're making and how much we want of what they're making. Nick, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Brandy.
Let's just kick off by reminding people what MENA.TV Content Hub actually is. You guys launched almost exactly a year ago with a number of big name partners, Rotana, LBC, CNBC. Remind us what you were set up to do.
Well, we actually came into this. We exist already for the last 10 years as a company connecting the telecoms operators with the TV stations. And over the last few years, particularly, the TV content industry has become really important. It's as you see, companies like ViewClip and iFlix and even OSN going into the OTT space, it's no longer just about TV channels. And the TV content industry has boomed. So as a result, the marketplace in MENA is very hard, and we just happen to be in a unique position to help vendors reach out to broadcasters, to OTT platforms, and likewise, we can help the broadcasters find content.
Right, so when you launched or relaunched, or whatever you want to call it, in February of last year then, when we created the Content Hub, what problem were you trying to solve?
We were trying to solve the problem of navigating the industry here in the Middle East and North Africa. You're talking about 21 countries. It's very hard for vendors around the world to find the buyers, and it's equally hard for buyers to find content. So, and at the same time, there are so many new buyers, the telecoms operators coming in, and the new private equity funded OTT platforms. There's so many new opportunities for content sales in both directions. And so the content industry itself is growing, and it's becoming increasingly important for buyers and sellers to find each other easily.
So how successful have you been? How many deals have actually been brokered because of your site?
Well, at the moment, we've been really focused on bringing in new buyers and new users. So I think that over the last year, we've managed to accumulate 250 buyers. We've brought in about 230 vendors. We've just recently done a deal with Viacom for their product to be listed with us. And, almost all the major broadcasters and OTT platforms use the service. So in terms of new deals, we're bringing, I'll give you a recent example. We had a US vendor that sold to a UAE broadcaster recently. We have Malaysian content being sold through the platform. And so it's very much a work in progress in terms of deals. I mean, one of the funny things about the content industry is you really have a long process in selling content, because you have to figure out what rights you actually need and so forth. But we're making it quicker for the vendors and for the buyers.
Is it a one-way street, though? Is it all content, like you say, the US content, the Malaysian content, content from elsewhere being sold in to satellite stations and channels and everything here? Or does anyone actually want any of the stuff that we make?
I'm really glad you asked that. I mean, that's one of the key things for us, is we're taking MENA-produced content out to the world as well. And we actually roadshow the Content Hub in Africa. We've had a partnership with Discop, which takes us all around the places that they would go. We'll be going to MIPCOM later this year as well, with the express intention of taking original Arabic content. And I think there'll be a great deal of investment in original Arabic content. Going back to your Netflix lead, I mean, now I think more than ever, with so many Arabic speakers around the world, and so many people interested in the Arab region, it's more than just a news story. People want real drama stories as well, and documentaries.
But are they buying them yet? You say there will be an appetite. But, I mean, is that appetite actually turning into dollars or dirhams or whatever?
It has taken longer than people expected. But I think what's changing things now is with the new OTT influence. And obviously Netflix have been slow coming to the region, but they're a good example of a company that's starting to take interest of original productions. And I think historically there hasn't been enough money in the TV industry here to produce really good content, and that is what's changing with the OTT players and the telecoms operators bringing additional funding in and the quality of the programming. Another sort of separate point is that Ramadan has always been the focus of everybody's production, but of course internationally we need to have good content all year round, and so I think more money is coming in, and that is going to drive more exporting of content.
Nick, if you look at the potential global market for Arabic language content, where is that universe? Where is where are the big pockets of Arab diaspora, of people who speak Arabic and want to consume Arabic content?
Well, at the moment, I think US and France are obviously big markets of Arabic speakers. And across Europe, there's obviously been a big influx of Arabic speakers generally. South America as well, Australia. But I think to Brandy's question earlier on, it's no longer only about Arabic speakers. What we're starting to see, if we look at Narcos as an example, is shows that translate across different languages. It doesn't really matter what the original the whole idea is the original language might be more than one language, and it's going to appeal to a wider audience that way. So I think there are many non-Arabic speakers who'd be interested in Arabic-produced content.
Does Netflix and other services are available, Stars Play, whatever it happened to be, have we all got more comfortable with subtitles because of, as you say, shows like Narcos? Are subtitles now fine?
Well, I think it's hard to say whether we could say that for the mass audience, but certainly if we look at the Arab mass audience, they're used to subtitles. I mean, if they're watching a lot of Hollywood content, particularly movies, subtitled. And I think that probably around the world, as content becomes more international, we'll see that trend as well. I mean, I know from my point of view, Danish content I love. And, a lot of that stuff, it wouldn't be accessible to me without subtitles.
You and Malcolm Taylor, Nordic Noir fans. Maybe there should be a society in Dubai.
The thing is, though, we're talking about the buying and selling of content, but there's also a big movement at the moment for companies to create and own their own content. That's what Netflix is doing with all the Netflix originals. That's what Apple is looking to do. It's what Facebook is looking to do. It's one of the reasons that, Disney's gone off and set up its own channel. People want to be the end-to-end supply chain. They want to make their own content, to have control of it. I mean, if you just watch what's happening at, the Golden Globes or any kind of awards ceremonies, that's definitely the way it's going. What does that mean for the selling of content?
It's a very challenging question to answer. I mean, I think I was hosting the CEO summit, the CEO panel yesterday at Discop, and I asked the question to the CEOs of the major broadcasters, is TV still a good business to be in? There's so much money piling into content production from, as I said, telcos, private equity. So I think the producers and the distributors are initially the beneficiaries of this, but from a consumer point of view, as you say, everybody's trying to disintermediate everybody, including the likes of Facebook. I don't think we know exactly how it's going to play out. Right now, if we take the region as example, 95% of people in the region still watch satellite TV free to air. So we're a long way from this dark future of dark future is the wrong word, but this future where all of these companies are put out of business. But equally, as you say, consumers do want to have a direct relationship with the content vendors. So, I mean, there are so many interested parties here.
Well, Nick Grande is the founder and the managing director of MENA.TV Content Hub. Thanks very much for coming in this morning.
Thanks so much, Brandy.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.